everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're tackling something that I think we all deal with at some point or another. It's self-sabotage.
Ooh, interesting.
We've got a whole bunch of research, personal stories, and we're going to break down not only what self-sabotage is, but also how to, like, kick it to the curb.
Right.
And one of the things that we found in the research is that something as simple as saying yes when you really want to say no can be a form of self-sabotage. So how many times have we all done that?
Oh, my gosh. I know I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So let's break down exactly what we're dealing with.
Yeah, what is this? What is self-sabotage really?
So what's fascinating about self-sabotage is that it often feels like we're getting a short-term win, even though it sets us back in the long run.
I like that.
It's like choosing the snooze button over that morning workout.
Oh, yeah. You
know? Those extra 9 minutes feel amazing.
The best.
But then later on, you're like, ugh.
Like, why did I do that?
Totally. So there's this deeper psychological layer here.
Okay.
Help us unpack this. What's really going on in our brains when we self-sabotage?
Well, it's like we're battling this inner conflict between what we want to achieve and then what feels comfortable or safe in the moment. And, you know, one of the sources had this great example about going to the gym after taking a break.
Okay.
You come back from vacation, maybe gained a few pounds.
Yeah.
And suddenly the gym feels like a judgment zone.
Yeah.
And so to kind of avoid that discomfort, you just don't go.
Yeah.
Even though you know it's going to set you back in terms of your fitness goals.
It's like we're tricking ourselves into thinking that we're avoiding pain.
Yeah.
But really, we're just delaying it and making it worse.
Exactly.
And this is where it gets interesting because it's not just a one-time slip up.
Right.
This can snowball.
It really can.
Right.
Think about it. Every time we give in to that urge to self-sabotage, it becomes a little bit easier to do it again the next time. Those neural pathways get stronger before you know it. It's your default mode.
So we're creating this self-fulfilling prophecy of failure.
Yes.
How does this show up in our lives?
No, I mean,
yeah,
it can manifest in so many ways. I mean, impacting our relationships, our careers, our health, personal growth. I mean, let's say, for example, you have a big presentation at work.
Okay.
You've prepped for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know your stuff. But then that little voice creeps in.
Yeah.
That self-doubt.
Yeah.
So instead of pushing through, you might procrastinate, stay up late the night before, or even show up unprepared.
Oh, wow.
It's almost as if you're subconsciously trying to validate that inner critic and proving to yourself that you're not good enough.
So I bet you a lot of people listening right now are like, wait a minute, do I self-sabotage?
Do I do this?
Right.
It's more common than we think.
Okay.
And the sources outline several examples that might sound really familiar.
Let's do it. Let's walk through some.
Okay.
Okay. First up, do you ever find yourself drinking a bit too much at social events, even if you know that it might lead to some embarrassing moments later?
Yeah.
Maybe it helps you loosen up initially.
Right.
But does it ultimately hold you back from making genuine connections?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Right. We're seeking that temporary comfort, but at the expense of our long-term goals.
Mm. Okay, how about this one? Do you constantly say yes to tasks and commitments when you are already swamped?
All the time.
Yeah.
It's that people pleaser in us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help. We don't want to let anyone down, but we're constantly overcommitting. It leads to burnout, resentment. We end up letting everyone down, including ourselves.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly.
Okay, and here's one that I think can be tough to admit.
Okay.
Do you ever avoid uncomfortable situations,
mm-hmm.
like job interviews or difficult conversations?
Yeah.
Even if it means staying stuck in a situation that's no longer serving you.
It's that fear of failure or rejection.
Yeah.
It feels safer to stay in your comfort zone, even if it's cramped and suffocating,
than
to risk the unknown.
Right. I think if you're listening to this right now, you're probably feeling a little called out.
A little bit.
But don't worry. You're not alone.
You're in good company.
And here's the good news.
Right.
We're not just going to leave you hanging with all this self-sabotage baggage. Our sources actually provided a pretty incredible roadmap.
They did.
To tackle this head on.
Right.
A 17-step action plan.
A whole action plan.
Yes.
So
I'm excited to break this down with you.
Me too. Okay, listeners, get ready to take notes.
Get your pen and paper.
Step one is all about acknowledging that the self-sabotage is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems basic.
Yeah.
Right?
Seems pretty simple.
But what's the power in admitting it?
You can't change what you don't acknowledge.
Right.
This is about moving from denial to a place of awareness. and empowerment.
So true. So we're taking ownership of those patterns.
Yes.
And once we've acknowledged it, step two encourages us to write it out.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to put pen to paper?
I love that putting pen to paper. It's like we're making a contract with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It becomes more real, more tangible. It's no longer just this vague feeling in your head. It's right there on paper.
I love that. A contract with ourselves. And then step four is all about planning our responses to those tricky situations where we tend to self-sabotage.
I like this.
So it's like we're creating a game plan.
Exactly. Let's go back to that gym example.
Okay.
Instead of letting anxiety dictate your actions, you can pre-plan your response.
Oh.
So when those nerves hit, you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to take 3 deep breaths, put on my favorite workout playlist, focus on getting through the first 10 minutes. You're basically creating a mental script. That helps you bypass those impulses.
So proactive rather than reactive.
Exactly.
And step six really resonates with me.
Okay.
It's all about reminding ourselves that we are worth the effort.
Yes.
This is where that self-compassion comes in.
It does.
Because so often, self-sabotage stems from a lack of self-belief. Yeah. We tell ourselves, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not deserving enough.
All the time.
Right. But step six is about challenging those negative beliefs and replacing them with affirmations of our worthiness.
Love it.
So let's all take a moment right now and say out loud, I am worthy. I deserve to achieve my goals. I am capable of creating the life I want.
Powerful.
And speaking of powerful, let's jump to step number 9.
Okay.
Which focuses on thought stopping techniques.
Thought stopping.
Yes.
What is this?
Tell me more. Imagine a red light flashing in your mind whenever a self-sabotaging thought pops up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mental stop sign. You acknowledge the thought. You don't judge yourself for having it. But then you consciously choose to replace it with a more positive and empowering thought.
Okay.
And that's symbolized by a green light.
Got it.
So we're retraining our brains to catch those negative thought patterns before they spiral.
Love it.
Okay. For example, let's say you're working on eating healthier.
Okay.
And the craving for potato chips hits. Okay. Visualize that red light stopping those cravings and then consciously shift your focus to a healthier option.
Okay.
Like a piece of fruit or a handful of almonds.
I like this.
You see that green light guiding you towards nourishing your body. Okay. So step 13. Emphasizes the importance of being mindful and vigilant in catching those self-sabotaging thoughts before they become actions.
So how do we do that? How do we put this into practice?
Mindfulness is about paying attention to our internal landscape without judgment. So notice those thoughts, feelings, bodily sensations, that signal you might be slipping into that self-sabotage mode.
Got it.
So maybe your heart starts racing, or you feel a knot in your stomach, or you notice those negative thoughts swirling around. So by tuning in to those early warning signs, you can intervene before they hijack your behavior.
That's so powerful.
We become observers of our own minds. And step 15 normalizes seeking professional help.
Okay. I love this.
Right. I think this is so crucial.
It is.
Especially for those of us who are struggling to break free from these patterns on our own.
Right.
It's about recognizing that we don't have to go it alone.
We don't.
A therapist can provide a safe and supportive space to explore those deep-seated patterns, challenge limiting beliefs, and develop those healthier coping mechanisms.
I love it.
It's like having a guide on this journey of self-discovery and growth. And finally, we can't forget about step 16, which emphasizes the importance of perseverance.
Oh, this is a good one.
Right. Change takes time.
It does.
And there will be setbacks. But it's important to remember that every step forward, no matter how small, is a victory.
I love that.
Embrace those stumbles as opportunities for learning and growth. It's like we're building that resilience muscle.
We are.
The more we practice these new behaviors and thought patterns, the stronger we become in resisting those urges.
Powerful stuff.
And we're just getting started.
We are.
In part two, we'll dive even deeper into the 17-step action plan. And we're going to explore specific techniques and strategies to help you break free from those self-defeating patterns.
I love it.
And start creating the life you deserve. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
It's interesting how we often think of self-sabotage as this big dramatic event.
Right.
But sometimes it's the subtle everyday choices that hold us back.
It really is those little things.
It's like death by a thousand paper cuts.
Oh, that's good.
Right. It's not always the huge mistakes. Okay. It's the accumulation of those self-defeating habits.
Right. And that's why this plan is so valuable.
The 17-step plan.
Yeah. Breaks down the process into manageable steps.
Yes. So manageable.
Yeah.
But we can integrate those into our daily lives.
Absolutely.
So where did we leave off? I remember feeling really empowered by that thought-stopping technique
you're
talking about. The importance of mindfulness.
Right.
Catching those thoughts before they become actions. It's like we're becoming the CEO of our minds.
I love that. The CEO of our mind.
Right. Making those conscious choices instead of letting our subconscious run the show.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Let's dive into some more of these steps.
All right, let's do it.
Step three is all about claiming responsibility for our thoughts and actions.
This is a tough one.
Right. It's easier to blame.
So much easier.
External circumstances.
Yes.
Or other people.
It's their fault.
When things go wrong.
Right.
But I guess when it comes to self-sabotage, we're the ones holding the leash.
We have the control.
Right. And that's where the power lies.
Yes.
So when we take responsibility, we empower ourselves to make those changes.
I like it.
It's about shifting from a victim mentality to a creator mentality.
That's it.
We have the power to choose differently. And that leads us to step five, which is all about sharing our plans with a trusted friend or family member.
Okay.
I think some people might be hesitant.
I can see that.
About this, it feels like. Too much pressure.
It's vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the value in bringing someone else in?
Accountability is a powerful tool. When we share our goals with someone, we create a support system.
Yeah.
You're inviting them to be our cheerleader.
Right.
Reminding us of our strengths.
Yeah.
And encouraging us to stay on track.
It's like having a personal trainer.
Yes.
For our minds.
I love that analogy.
Right. To spot us when those urges come up.
Exactly.
Okay. But it goes even deeper than that.
Oh.
Because step five encourages us to actually ask that person to confront us if they see us engaging in those behaviors.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's next level accountability.
So they're holding a mirror up to us,
yes,
reflecting those patterns.
Yeah.
That we might not be aware of.
And it brings those subconscious behaviors to light.
Yes.
So when they point it out to you, it can be like, oh.
That aha moment.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see how powerful that could be. And step seven is all about getting out of that rut of self-criticism and starting to believe in ourselves.
It's about shifting from a negative self-image to a more positive and empowering one.
Because self-sabotage often stems from a lack of self-worth.
Sure.
We might tell ourselves we're not good enough, smart enough, or capable enough to achieve our goals.
Right.
But step seven is about challenging those beliefs and replacing them with affirmations of our strength and capability. So it's recognizing those negative thought patterns and consciously reframing them. Okay, step eight encourages us to make a vow.
A vow.
To ourselves and a close friend to work towards ending. Self-sabotage.
I like it.
Why do you think it's so powerful to verbalize that commitment?
When we speak our intentions out loud, it's like they carry more weight.
Yeah.
It becomes more tangible. Like you're making a public declaration to yourself and someone that you trust. It strengthens your resolve.
We're forming a pact.
Yes.
An alliance.
Okay.
I love how step 10 encourages us to celebrate small wins.
I love this one.
Along the way.
Celebrate those little wins.
Why is this important?
Celebrating our successes is crucial for maintaining that motivation and momentum.
Yeah.
Acknowledge your progress. Reinforce those positive behaviors.
Right. It's so easy to get caught up in the not enough mentality.
It's so easy.
It is. Right. To focus on where we fall short.
Yeah.
So step 10 reminds us to focus on what we have accomplished.
Exactly.
And to give ourselves credit.
Yes. You got to give yourself credit.
For those steps we're taking towards a more fulfilling life. It's like giving ourselves a high five for every hurdle.
I love that.
That we overcome. Step 11 builds on this.
Okay.
It's about acknowledging those new positive feelings and experiences that come with breaking free from the self-sabotage.
It's savoring those moments of growth.
Yeah.
And recognizing how your life is changing.
Right.
For the better.
And it's easy to take those for granted.
So easy. Right.
Or to immediately focus on the next challenge.
Yep.
But this step reminds us to pause.
Yeah.
To appreciate those wins and really soak in that positive impact.
I love it.
What stands out to you about step 12?
Step 12 encourages us to become students of ourselves through self-education.
Okay. Knowledge is power.
Right.
The more we understand ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, our behavioral patterns, the better equipped we are to make those conscious choices that align with our values and our goals.
All of it.
We're peeling back the layers of our minds.
Exactly.
Becoming more aware of those subconscious patterns that might be driving our self-sabotage.
And there are so many amazing resources available.
Yeah, to help us on this journey.
Books, podcasts, workshops, online courses.
Right, so many. It's like we're investing in our own personal development, expanding our understanding of who we are and what makes us tick.
I love it.
Okay, step 14 encourages us to think outside the box.
Ooh.
To be open to new perspectives and possibilities.
Be open to those possibilities.
Yeah. What do you make of that?
This step is all about challenging those limiting beliefs.
Okay. That might be holding us back.
Right. Because we get stuck in those rigid ways of thinking that keep us trapped. So step 14 encourages us to get curious, explore different viewpoints, and embrace new ways of being.
I like to think of it as like shaking up our mental snow globes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right. Letting those old beliefs melt away.
Yeah.
And making space for new ones to crystallize.
That's beautiful.
So step 16 reminds us that change doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't.
This is where things get real, right? Because it's easy to get discouraged when we slip up.
It is.
Right. Or we fall back into those old patterns.
Oh, yeah.
But change is rarely linear.
Right.
There will be setbacks. There will be moments when we stumble and fall back into those familiar grooves.
It happens.
But the key is to remember that each setback is an opportunity to learn and grow.
Love it.
It's like we're learning to ride a bike. We're going to wobble. We might even fall. But with practice, we'll find our balance and we'll glide towards our goals. And that brings us to the final step in this action plan, which reminds us to renew our commitment as often as needed. So why is this important?
Life is always changing, right?
Things happen.
It throws us curveballs.
Right. And our needs and goals are always evolving.
Exactly.
So it's checking in with ourselves regularly, reaffirming those values, and recommitting to living a life that aligns with our truest selves.
An ongoing journey.
Yes.
It's not a destination. There's no finish line.
This 17-step action plan is truly inspiring.
It is.
It's like a treasure map guiding us towards a life of purpose, joy, and fulfillment. I want to touch on the idea of seeking professional help.
Okay.
It's amazing how this plan normalizes.
It does.
Seeking that support and framing it as a sign of strength rather than weakness.
I love that.
Right. Because there's still so much stigma around therapy and mental health. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, it takes courage.
It does.
And self-awareness to recognize when we need help.
And to ask for it.
Yeah. So a therapist can provide that safe space.
Yes.
To explore those patterns, challenge those beliefs, and develop those coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
It's like a trainer for our minds.
I love that. Right.
Right. Guiding us through those mental workouts, helping us build those emotional muscles, and cheering us on every step of the way.
I love it.
And remember, you don't have to be in crisis.
You don't.
To seek therapy. It's about investing in your well-being.
Yeah.
Prioritizing your mental health.
Absolutely.
It's a gift you give not only to yourself, but to everyone around you. So this has been an incredible exploration of these 17 steps.
Yeah.
So as we head into part three, what are some of the key takeaways that you want our listeners to hold on to?
I think these 17 steps offer a really practical and empowering framework for understanding and overcoming self-sabotage.
Yeah. It's about cultivating that self-awareness.
Yeah.
Taking responsibility for our choices and implementing strategies to disrupt those negative patterns and replace them with more positive, empowering
behaviors.
Right.
Takes patience, perseverance, and commitment.
Yeah.
But the rewards are life-changing.
Beautifully said. Stay tuned for part three, where we will wrap up our deep dive with some final thoughts and actionable takeaways to help you implement these steps and create lasting change. See you soon.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about self-sabotage. We journeyed through its twisted caverns. We've mapped out a 17-step plan to escape its clutches. But let's talk about putting this into action. Sometimes having all the tools can feel overwhelming.
Right.
So where do we even begin?
Well, you don't have to tackle all 17 steps at once.
Okay. So no self-help ninja overnight.
No. Just start small.
Okay.
Choose one that speaks to you.
Okay.
And focus your energy there.
So it's like choosing your weapon of choice.
I like that. Your weapon of choice. Right. Some of us might be drawn to the thought stopping,
right?
While others might want to write things down or seek support from a friend.
Absolutely.
So find what works for you.
Yeah.
Be patient along the way.
Patience is key.
One of the biggest takeaways for me has been the importance of self-compassion.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all human. We're all going to mess up.
We are.
So how can we be kinder to ourselves when those setbacks happen?
Think of it this way. You wouldn't berate a friend for struggling.
Right.
So offer yourself that same support and encouragement.
Treat yourself like you would treat a friend.
Exactly.
I love that. So setbacks are natural.
They are a part of growth.
They're part of the process.
Yes.
Okay. One of the most powerful tools that we've uncovered in this deep dive is self-awareness.
Self-awareness.
It's like shining a light on those shadowy parts of ourselves that we'd rather keep hidden. Right. So it's the foundation of change.
It is.
Understanding the why. Behind our behaviors.
The why.
So once we bring those subconscious patterns into the light, we can start to challenge them.
Challenge them.
It's like we're becoming archaeologists.
I love these analogies I do.
Of our own minds.
Right.
We're excavating those beliefs that might be holding us back. Yeah. And once we've unearthed them, we can start to rewrite.
Rewrite that script.
The script. And remember, you don't have to do this alone.
We don't.
Talk to a trusted friend, family member, or consider seeking guidance from a therapist.
Yeah.
So having that external support can make all the difference.
It really can.
It's like a team of cheerleaders.
I love it. Your own personal cheer squad.
Right. On the sidelines rooting for us. Okay. We've reached the end of our 17-step roadmap. But I want to leave you with a final thought.
A call to action.
Yes. Now that you're armed with all this knowledge, what one small step can you take today to start dismantling those habits? Maybe it's about noticing those negative thoughts without judgment. Maybe it's setting a boundary with someone or simply celebrating a small win. Remember, every journey begins with a single step.
It does.
You have the power to break free from self-sabotage and create a life that aligns with your values and aspirations. So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep believing in your own potential. Until next time, happy diving.